James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God is not passive. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's not out there watching us, punishing us if we do bad and rewarding us if we do well. He's right here with us, providing help in every moment of every day. God is not just merely a reactionary, that is, reacting to the decisions that we make and waiting for us to make the right decisions. God is proactive. God is the original cause. God is the original author. And God is at work always, involved in everything. Every issue of the greatest importance or of what we might consider to be the most trivial of life. God has a will. God has desires. God has plans. God has purposes in everything that is, whether it is in the farthest corner of outer space or it is the most minute little thing on this earth. And God is actively bringing to pass his purposes and his plans. One of the greatest aspects of God's will is he brought us forth by his own will. Paul told us in Romans chapter 12 that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's why he told the Ephesians that he does everything according to his own will. Even Nebuchadnezzar confessed, as recorded in Daniel chapter 4, that God is in the heaven and he performs his will among the hosts of heaven and on earth. And no one can say to him, "Why are you doing this?" And no one can stop his hand. One of the greatest aspects of that perfect, good, and acceptable will of God is that he brought us forth. That is, we owe our salvation entirely to God. Salvation was God's idea. Forgiveness was God's idea. Sending Jesus Christ to earth was the will of God. For Jesus to come to earth and live a perfectly righteous life, and for God to account that to us who believe, is God's plan and God's will. For Jesus to go to the cross was God's will, and to bear a perfect atoning sacrifice for the sins of his people was God's idea, God's plan, and God's will. It was God's will, if you believe in Christ, that you should believe in Christ. It was God's will to send the Holy Spirit to you when you were dead in trespasses and sins. Maybe unbeknownst to you, you may not have even realized what was going on in your heart and mind and life. But it was God's will from all of eternity that he would send the Holy Spirit to you, that he would be intimately involved in all the circumstances of your life so that you would seek God. And it was God's will that you would be drawn to God by the Holy Spirit. It was God's will to give you the great gift of salvation. It was God's will to redeem you and save you from all of eternity. He brought us forth. When God was going to destroy the world, back in the days of Abraham, or destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, back in the days of Abraham, God sent an angel to Lot, who was living in Sodom. That was God's will. Lot never would have left Sodom if it wasn't God's will. And the scripture informs us that Lot lingered, but the angel took Lot by the hand and brought him forth, because that was God's will. It was not God's will to destroy Lot, or he would have been destroyed along with the rest of Sodom. Mary had never known a man, But it was God's will that she should have a baby, that she should bear the Son of God. So God worked in her in a marvelous and mysterious, really unexplainable, miraculous way. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because that was God's will. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, and they could not free themselves. Many of them had become corrupted by the ways of Egypt. Their theology had experienced a change in those 400 years that they were in Egypt. But God brought forth the children of Israel out of Egypt and led them to a promised land, because it was God's will to do that. So if you and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have every moment of every day forever the greatest of all reasons to praise and thank Him, because we are saved. If it wasn't for God's will, we would not be saved. It doesn't matter what else happens in this world. If we live in poverty or sickness, or we are the off-scouring of the world, we have every reason, the greatest of reasons, to be thankful to God, because we are saved of His own will. God doesn't have to ask permission from people. God doesn't just wait and let you invite Him into your life. God will execute His will. If you and I saw a child playing in the middle of a railroad track and a train was bearing down on that child, we would not just simply stand at the edge of the tracks and say, "If you let me, I will come and rescue you from the inevitable destruction. If you will just give me permission." You wouldn't do that at all. You'd rush into those tracks and lift that child up out off those tracks into your arms. Take that child to safety. That's what James means when he said, "Of His own will, He brought us forth." And He brought us forth that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The very fact that there was first fruit, that there was a harvest, was evidence that there had been a lot of prior labor that took place. Of course, the Israelites didn't just go to their vineyards or didn't just go to their fields one day and lo and behold, there was grain and there were grapes, but they carefully planted, they carefully nurtured, they prayed for water and just the right amount of sunshine. They guarded it from pests and from critters of all kinds. There was a lot of labor that took place before there were first fruits. And there is always a lot of labor on the behalf of God that takes place before there is ever the fruit of belief. We are the first fruits of His creatures. But we read in Deuteronomy chapter 26 that the first fruits were to be sacred. That is, they were to be dedicated exclusively to the use of God. They were to bring the first fruits into the tabernacle or the temple and devote them wholly to God. They could not take these first fruits home and serve them for dinner. That would have been corrupting. That would have been using the exclusive property of God in a profane way. And so God's people should be dedicated exclusively to Christ. I know that God is doing a number of things in all of our lives. God has a number of purposes with all of us. And very many times, that is simply between the man or woman and God. But I can say this about you, if you are a believer If you ask me what is God's will, God's will is that you be a first fruit, is that you be dedicated, devoted exclusively to Jesus Christ. The first fruits were also meant to be a blessing to people. They would bring the first fruits into the tabernacle or the temple, and then the priest, who were not given an inheritance in the land, the priest and the homeless were given the first fruits that they could live on. The first fruits were meant to be a blessing. And I can also say that the will of God for you is that you be a blessing to people. In whatever way you can be a blessing. Be a blessing to your family. Be a blessing to this church. Be a blessing to your neighbor and to your friends. The first fruits were also supposed to be the very best that the Israelites had to offer. They weren't supposed to go through the first fruits and find the blighted and offer that to the Lord. They were to select the very best that their fields first brought forth, or that their vineyards first brought forth. And we were not chosen by God from the foundation of the world because we are the best of humanity. We are just as sinful as everyone else. We are all equal in this way, equally sinful, equally guilty, equally dead in our trespasses and sins. That Pharisee made a huge mistake. His theology was all wrong, and his thinking of himself was all wrong when he prayed, "Lord, I am thankful that I am not as other men, adulterers and extortioners, or even like this publican." That's where he went wrong. He was just like those other men, and they were like him. God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We were not elect because we were the best that humanity had to offer. But having become believers in Jesus Christ, we should strive to be the very best of humanity. We should strive to be excellent in everything that we think, say, or do, because we are representing the high and holy and most excellent God. We are to approve those things which are excellent. I can say what the will of God is for you about this. God wants you to be the very best that humanity has to offer, because it is God's will that he bring us forth and that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. But God not only has a will about results and purposes and goals and destinations, God has a will about how he is going to accomplish his purposes and bring his will to pass. When you and I take a vacation, we predestinate where we are going to go. I don't think we just get into a car and just drive around and wherever we end up, that's where we're going to vacation. We have a pre-planned destination. And so does God. Of his own will, he brought us forth. But we also predetermine how we are going to get to that predestination. We may choose to go by an airline or by bus or by automobile, but we decide beforehand how we are going to get there. God predestinates. He has a destination for your soul, for your life. God has a predestination for this world. That's what the Bible teaches us. But not only does he predestinate what shall be, he also predestinates how he's going to bring it to pass. So we read in this verse, of his own will he brought us forth, and that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. But we read right in the middle of those two aspects of God's will, by the word of truth. His will was accomplished and progressed in bringing us forth, and that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures by the means of the word of truth. By truth. God does everything through truth. He brings us forth by truth. He sanctifies us by truth. Sanctify them by your truth. John 17:17. Your word is truth. We are only really fit, really prepared to meet the struggles and difficulties of this world if we know the truth. We are to, what Paul said to the Ephesians, fight against the devil, against wickedness in high places, by girding our loins with the truth. God does everything through truth. We do no one any favor if we hide the truth, if we compromise the truth. Oh, it might, perhaps, in certain instances, make life temporarily a little bit more comfortable for us. But we're not doing anyone else any favors if we hide the truth. God's word is truth. When James says, by the word of truth, he is speaking of that word which reveals the truth. That word which reveals realities, eternal realities. Most people live a lie. Most people are following after something that is never, ever going to come to pass. The devil is a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. He is the father of all lies. And so he gets people to believe a lie. He gets them to believe that they are good enough to go to heaven. He gets them to believe that because God is love, He would never send anyone to hell. He gets them to believe that there is no God. He gets them to believe that God is a dream maker, that you dream it and God brings it to pass. Gets them to believe all kinds of heretical views about themselves, about life, and about God. The Bible is a revealer of the truth. It reveals eternal realities. There are some realities that are only temporary. Last Sunday morning, I could have said to you, it is pouring down rain, and that would have been the truth. But if I say to you today, it is pouring down rain, that would not be the truth. The Bible reveals realities that are eternal. Heaven, hell, salvation, sin, resurrection, God, Jesus Christ, that place in heaven that Christ has prepared for us. And it reveals to us realities regarding this life. That is the means that God uses to bring everything to pass, the word of truth. Hebrews chapter 1, the writer says that God upholds the universe by the word of His power. He brought everything into existence by His word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And I don't know how that happened. I can't explain it. It has never been, and neither can it ever be reproduced in a laboratory. But God said, let there be light, when there was no light. The only thing that existed was the light of God. There was no moon. There was no sun, stars. There were no molecules. There was nothing material. God spoke it into existence. And then having spoke it into existence, He upholds all things by the word of His power. God works through the Scripture, the truth that the Scripture reveals to us. So, this little sentence by James, of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. is really everything that a local church needs to have confidence and direction in its very daunting mission. The mission, in part, that God has given the local church is daunting. It is the mission of evangelism. It is to make disciples of every kind of people within a community. And within a community, very often, there are people of different economic classes. There's always people of different ages. There's people of different races. Of course, there are males and females. There are people of different personalities, different backgrounds. There are all kinds of people in any given community. And it is the mission of the local church to evangelize those people, to share with them, to proclaim to them the good news of salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. But they're different races, and they don't think like we do, and that word is not always inviting because people don't want to believe that they are sinners. And so, very often, programs are presented that are targeted toward a specific demographic audience. And usually, it's young people. But our mission, though it is daunting, is simple. We reach all kinds of people. We disciple all nations by the word of truth. Our mission is to get the word of God to people. We should see everything as an avenue to get the word of God to people. If we advertise, that is only an avenue to get the word of God to people, not to advertise ourselves and what we can do for them. The vehicle, the mode that God wills for us to bring people out of darkness into the marvelous light, and that they would be a kind of first fruits of His creatures, is the Word of God, the Word of truth. We need to ride the Word of truth, and it will take us where God has predetermined from all of eternity it should take us. There are other vehicles that are often sometimes used to try to accomplish the very same goals. But we can only take people through the heavens on a rocket ship. We cannot take people through the heavens on a 747. We certainly can't take them through the heavens on a circus ride. That circus ride might be exciting, and it might have a lot of bells and whistles, and people might line up for blocks to ride it, and they might pay a lot of money to ride it, but really, it takes them nowhere. And they are looking for a new circus ride. If we drift from our mission, we will find other means to accomplish that mission. Or if we drift from the means that God has chosen to fulfill the mission, it will take us somewhere other than the fulfillment of that mission. And that is evangelism. Evangelism is not easy. There is a lot working against a local church or you as a private individual when you try to evangelize. Again, people don't think like we think. They don't see what we see. They don't know what we know. Some of them don't like to hear the Word of God. But the way that you accomplish that difficult, daunting mission is by getting the Word of truth to people. Always. I know sometimes it is argued that, well, in order to get them interested, in order to present the Word of truth, we need to offer other services and then use that to give them the Word of truth. But the Word of truth is its own interest gainer. Amen. In the hearts and minds of those that God has determined He will bring forth out of darkness into the marvelous light. Others may like other means, but if there is a circus ride, or if there is someone proclaiming the word of God, that person, when the Holy Spirit has come to that person, will be drawn to the word of God rather than the circus ride. If you should call up Hancock Memorial Hospital this morning and tell them you have a leak in your plumbing and it's needing some immediate attention, they would tell you, "We are sorry, that is not what we do. That is a legitimate need, and there are people that do that." Or if the doctors and the nurses and the staff at Hancock Memorial Hospital should choose a day or an evening, Friday night, and that day or that evening, they're not going to work at the hospital. They're going to go out into the community, and they're going to rake leaves, and they're going to clean windows, and if you have anything you need done, let them know and they'll come and do it. We would all be up in arms. We would say, "You have to stay at the hospital. Your job is to treat the emergencies, the physical needs of people." And we should be thankful for and support organizations that meet legitimate needs of people. But that's not what we're called to do as a church. We are called to evangelize. And the way that we do that is by the word of truth. This little sentence by James gives us confidence, because if we are making use of the word of truth, God will bring forth His elect from darkness always without fail. God's word will accomplish the purpose for which He sent it forth. It's like the snow that comes down from heaven. It fulfills God's purposes. It will not return to Him void. I believe that. 30 years ago, when I first became a pastor, 21 years ago, when I first became a pastor here, I really staked my ministry, or the success, as God counts success, of the church on this fact. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And so I believed that if I proclaimed the truth, God's elect would hear, it would resonate, it would feed them and enlighten them, because that's what the Word of God teaches. If I am wrong, then the church will fail in this mission. But the Scripture does say, for instance, "Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth." This is a work of God. He does that. I can't bring people forth. I can't take them out of darkness into the marvelous light. I can't change their heart. But God can. And it says that He does that by the word of truth, by the Bible. This gives us confidence and direction in our daunting task of making disciples of all nations. But it also should give us confidence and direction how that each one of us personally can maintain a total healthy being. Paul said to Thessalonians that he prays that God would sanctify them wholly, soul, spirit, and body, completely. And Jesus said, "Sanctify them through your truth." In order for us to have mental health, in order for us to have psychological health, in order for us to certainly have spiritual health, we must wash daily in the word of truth. We must take the multivitamin of the word of truth. We must be inoculated when we are little children. We must be vaccinated when we are little children by the word of truth. I must work out every day, mentally, by reading and contemplating and meditating upon the word of truth. The book of Hebrews tells us that God's word is living and powerful, piercing and dividing asunder soul and spirit, bone and marrow. It is true that the Bible is sometimes very cutting. That's what it's meant to do. The Bible is sometimes like the scalpel that the surgeon uses. It slices us wide open in order to remove from us the rotten, infected, diseased, cancerous part of our hearts. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, it divides asunder joint and marrow and soul and spirit. But it also exposes us, it reveals us, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When I read the Bible, it tells me all about me. And that's what it's supposed to do. The Bible, Paul told Timothy, is meant to thoroughly equip the saint. Paul told Timothy, you know, as a little child, you were familiar with the scriptures because the scriptures are inspired by God and they are sufficient for the man of God to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Nothing else can do that but the Word of God. Another aspect of the ministry of the local church is to edify God's people so that they can go out and do the work of the ministry. And that can be a daunting task. There are a lot of challenges. There are a lot of difficulties. There are a lot of strains and stresses in the world and temptations. How can we prepare people? How can we prepare children? How can we prepare young families, the elderly, to face the difficulties, the strains and stresses and challenges and temptations that they will face? We don't do it one way for one group of people, and another way for another group of people, and another way for another group of people. Our task is not easy, it's difficult, but it is simple. It is by the word of truth. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let us always respect the word of God. For those that will be in leadership in this church, be confident if you are proclaiming the word of God that it will accomplish God's purposes. It will draw out of darkness his elect. It will regenerate and convert their souls. It will create its own interest. It will nurture and feed God's people. And be confident that whatever you face in life, whatever are your weaknesses and struggles, temptations, whatever is your past, it can all be efficiently and sufficiently met by the word of truth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this book that you gave us, that you inspired and that you preserved throughout all generations, the Bible, the Holy Word of God. I know last week we considered that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And this surely means the Bible. You gave us the Bible. And the Word of God is inspired and it thoroughly equips the man of God for every good work. It is profitable for reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. everything that we need. I ask that you will work in this church for however long it might be your will before Christ returns, that both now and in the future, the leadership and the people will see that the getting of the Word of God to people is the daunting task. But it's simple, and they don't need to rely upon circus rides. They must be very careful that they not stray from the mission God has given to them to evangelize and edify. Lord, I pray for my own heart, for the hearts of everyone here, that you would nurture within us this unshaking, doubtless confidence in the all-sufficiency of the Word of God to meet every need of our being, whoever we are, whatever we're facing. I thank you that you're not passive, that you are active. You uphold the universe, as a matter of fact, by the word of your power. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.